We pray. Heavenly Father, God of all mercy, speak your word from your throne on high and shoot it down into the depths of our heart. Fill us to overflowing with your light, your grace, your truth sublime, that we might live aglow for you in glory. Amen. The story is told of a firefighter, Benny Slater. His truck of firefighters were called out to a five-alarm fire, a five-story apartment building, all ablaze. When they pulled up, they saw on the fourth story a 12-year-old girl, Trish Loper, who was crying out from the window, already a crazed look in her eyes. They raced with their ladders, and she kept on looking back at the stairwell all ablaze behind her. Well, Benny got up on the ladder. He was approaching her. He was getting closer and closer. He was calling out to her, "Just stay there. I'll be there in a minute." And he gets the ladder to the window. He climbs to the very top. He's reaching out for her, and as he comes close, she backs off. She steps away from the window. His hands were millimeters away from her clothing. Still with that crazed look in her eye, she backs away from the window. She turns around and she runs toward the stairwell. Moments later, the roof collapses into the basement. Benny climbs down the ladder, crying. What do you think he's feeling? What would you be feeling? Would you be angry? Would you be sad? Confused? Maybe overwhelmed because you had done everything right. You were there to save her, and she ran back into the flames. Wouldn't it break your heart? Well, if you can feel for Benny, then you'll understand the pain Jesus went through. He felt that same pain when he reached out and his very own disciples ran away from his safety back into the fires of hell. How they had to have broken his heart. His disciples would not listen to him. You see, when Jesus was talking to his disciples, he wasn't having a political debate. He wasn't trying to tell them how to have a killing on Wall Street. He wasn't even trying to convince them of the danger of cancer if they continued to smoke. No, he was talking to them about something much more important, their souls. He was reaching out to save them. And they ran away from him. Well, today Jesus talks to us too. And do we realize that our eternity depends on how his words hit us? Are we offended, dismissed, dismissive, and apathetic toward Jesus' words? Or are we hungry, trusting, and having life in Jesus' words? Jesus is kind of like medicine. It's not enough for us to just admire the potential that medicines have as they sit on our doctor's counter. It's not enough that we just say all kinds of nice things about the medicine. The medicine needs to be in us to do its work. And so Jesus is not a Savior who just stands outside of us. He comes to dwell inside of us, enter us, and dwell in us. Without him in us, his body and blood, truly in with and under us, we have no life. Those who follow Jesus were baffled. They replied, "Oh, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Well, Jesus was revealing the very mysteries of God. Talk about things beyond our world. And yes, they have to be accepted through faith. "Does this offend you?" Jesus replied. "The flesh counts for nothing." Human intellect in and of itself cannot comprehend the things of God. And our good works don't bring us any closer to God. No, he says, the Spirit gives life. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's where it all happens. Jesus' words gives us what our minds lack, faith. Instead of letting Jesus' words draw them ever deeper and closer to him as they yearn to know more, no, instead these disciples let his words recoil them, push them away, for they couldn't comprehend them. And so then they turned and ran into the fires of damnation. They forfeited the grace that could have been theirs. If we think of it, most of Jesus' teachings are impossible to accept without faith. Huh? Many who claim to be Christians really stumble and have troubles with this whole idea that the Bible is the inspired Word of God from cover to cover in its totality. They don't agree that Scripture is the only source for knowing the truths of God. Many Christians are offended at the teaching that people are dead in their transgressions and sins, even from birth. That just doesn't sound plausible. Wars have started over the whole teaching that we're saved by faith alone, through grace alone, and this comes to us only through Scripture. And then there's the great controversies about holy baptism and holy communion. But today we ask the tough questions. Are we offended? Dismissive and apathetic about God's word? Well, ask ourselves, what place does God's word truly have in our hearts and in our lives? In the book of Revelation, Jesus warns the Christian church at Laodicea. He says, "So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth." Jesus confronted the religious leaders of his day to their faithless religiosity. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Faith in Jesus cannot be separated from his holy word. If we disagree with Jesus as to how we are to live, what we are allowed to do and not to do, if we are smarter than God and really don't need to spend much time in Scripture, we have it all buttoned down. If we really don't care to know too much more about Jesus than just the ABC of it all, and that's plenty good for us, and what's written in the Bible, that's only for those theologians. Then our apathy will drag us down to hell. The world says, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we shall die." Our eternity depends on how Jesus' words hit us. Oh Lord, you purchased us for yourself. You paid in your holy blood for all the times when we turned a lukewarm heart to you and your holy word. And so we pray, preserve us from having hearts that are offended, dismissive, or apathetic toward your word. You snatched us from the burning window of hell. We are yours. Hold us tight. Give us ears to hear and hearts to believe all that you have spoken in your holy word. Notice the second group of disciples. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Can you hear the passion in Peter's words there? While others are leaving, he couldn't think of anything else but to stay. Where would he and the other 12 go? You are the Messiah. You are the Holy One of Israel that we have been waiting for so long. You have the words of eternal life. Where could we possibly go? There is still much that Peter didn't understand about Jesus. There were still going to be many mistakes Peter would make in his walk with the Lord. Many times when Jesus would call him to repent and have to reinstall him. And yet Jesus just kept on planting and planting his word in the deep recesses of Peter's heart and letting him grow ever stronger and wiser and more loving all the days to grow Peter into a man he had never even imagined he possibly could be. All through the power of God's word in human hearts, miracles happen. The more Peter heard about Jesus, the more he wanted to hear about him. He had a holy hunger for him. Are we hungry? Trusting? Filled with life through God's word? Football season is starting. You like to watch a good football game? Your favorite team? Especially when the Bears and Packers play? You know, there are some of us who really like a good game, and then there are others who live, eat, and breathe football. Oh, they can't hardly wait for the next game to go on. They watch them all, not just their favorite team. Or maybe they have such a hunger to get out on that field and really play their best game ever. Oh, they are driven. Have you ever thought of praying for the Lord for a holy hunger for his word? That we might eat, breathe, and live the word of God. That this whole idea of just 1 hour on a Sunday morning, oh, that's way too little time with Jesus. I just have such a hunger to be with him more and more. The angel Gabriel came to Mary with some news that would rock her whole world, upend everything and all of her plans for her and Joseph. She had no clue as to whether she'd be ostracized, kicked out of the family, abandoned. And yet, what was her reply to Gabriel and therefore to God? "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Think of those little words. As much as she didn't understand how this could really be happening to her or what is the ramifications of being pregnant with the Son of God. That's kind of heavy stuff. Even without comprehending all that, she in faith welcomed Gabriel's news, the message God sent through his angel, and with open heart accepted all that the Lord's will was for her. Oh, trusting. Trusting God, oh Lord, give us a faith like Mary's, a faith without fear or doubt, whatever the consequences. Peter told Jesus, "You have the words of eternal life." He said that not just because he was taught that, but because Jesus' eternal life was already in him. That eternal life that stretches beyond our mortal life. That eternal life that reaches out to the very throne room of heaven and contacts and comes, brings us in contact with the Lord God Almighty even while we live our life here in this world. That's why Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me lives, even though he dies." And so we have that eternal life that eternal life that connects us to the Lord God Almighty, and that we might grow every day in all the blessings that come through that. The story is told of a poor man who was in great grief as he saw his daughter sick and getting weaker. Finally came the day where she couldn't talk anymore. She couldn't open her eyes. Her breath was becoming more and more shallow. He put on his coat and bolted through the door. He ran to get the doctor. He searched all over and found him down by the lake. And he said, Doctor, come and heal my daughter. The doctor came. But he kept on getting distracted on the way. As they finally reached the house, someone came out and said, your daughter is dead. Can you imagine the grief for that father? It's a terrible thing to have to bury your child. But the doctor said, don't be afraid. Just believe. The doctor went in by his daughter. He didn't perform CPR. He didn't give her an injection. He simply just said, little girl, I say to you, get up. And she sat up and smiled. Can you imagine what the father felt to be able to see his daughter smile once again? But what we often miss in the story is, can you imagine the joy in the doctor's heart, Dr. Jesus? For this is why he has come to this world, to bring us from death to life. And that is his aim for you and me. That through the power of his eternal word, we might step from death to life, that he might grab us from that fiery window of hell and hold us on into eternity. There is nothing more powerful or important than the word of God. Our eternal destiny depends on how Jesus' words hit us. Well, how are they hitting us? Are they finding a home way down in the core of our being? Oh, may Jesus' words always find a welcome in the depths of our soul. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, you who have created the world and created us, you have also worked our salvation, created us anew in your glorious gospel. So bring your work to a final completion. Take us all home to be with you in glory everlasting. May your word be powerful and beautiful, filling us with grace divine. May we be your children and rejoice at the sound of your name, the study of your word, now and all the days that you have ordained. In Christ our Savior. Amen.